All right, welcome again. I entitled the message tonight, The Babe in the Manger. Mary Jean found a song years ago by that title, A Babe in the Manger, and it reminded people not just to worship the baby in the manger and neglect the Christ of the cross. And it's a good message. The song was kind of inspiring, help you to look a little bit beyond the manger at Christmas time, and I thought that was a good idea, and I want to kind of do that tonight. If you were to pick up a very good book and read a chapter right out of the middle of the book and put it down, you would probably be disappointed because you left out the beginning and the end. Similarly, when our attention is drawn only to Bethlehem during the Christmas season, we miss out on the beginning and the ending chapters of the life of our Lord Jesus. And I think it's important that we not do that. You know, there's nothing that requires of us anything at Christmas time. I think it's great to remember the gift from heaven that came down wrapped in a little, in a swaddling clothes and lay in a manger. But he didn't come to be a babe, did he? He came to die on the cross. And so we remember that. If you go to a birthday party today, you probably don't mention any of the events that take place on the day that the person was born. At birthday parties, we don't do that. We talk about where they are now and what they're doing now and how they became what they are on this day. But exactly the opposite is true of us Christians when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. And so these few nights before our Christmas celebration, it's really a season though, isn't it? A few nights before, I would like for us to fellowship with the Lord and celebrate His birth, but also recall the whole story of the Lord Jesus. We'll just take some steps. I'll have some scripture. I'm not going to have you turn to the scripture just for the sake of time so we can get through. But these will be familiar scriptures, and I'm going to read them slowly. And I want you to just think about it. Rather than worry about turning the pages, please just think about the Word of God and what it says. Before we talk about the life of the Lord Jesus here on earth, we would have to go back. Well, we would have to go back into eternity, wouldn't we? Because He's eternal. He's the eternal Son of God. Have you ever tried to establish when a certain thing took place and you found that you kept saying, no, it was before that. No, it was before that. Well, whatever you mentioned about the Lord Jesus, He was before that. The Lord Jesus had no beginning. He's eternal in both ways. And we need to remember that. Jesus did not come into existence at Bethlehem. He was robed in flesh at Bethlehem. He took on the form of flesh. There are a number of scriptures. John 1:1-2. Listen, in the beginning was the Word, with a capital W. He's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So in the beginning, Jesus already was. He's eternal God. In John chapter 17 and verse 24, it says, Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So when we think of Jesus, let's remember that He is eternal God. Jesus is eternal God. We're going to sing number 106. We're just going to sing the second verse. A lot of these songs will just sing one verse because it's the verse that sort of makes the point that we're looking at in the Scripture. So Nate will come and lead us. 106, verse 2.
All right. Second.
Oh,
Once upon a time, in the beginning, the eternal God, the Lord Jesus Christ, created all that is, and he still sustains it. He sustains it. Joseph was taken out of jail, you remember, to interpret Pharaoh's dream, in which he foresaw a famine that would plague the land of Egypt for 7 years. Similarly, Jesus, well, let me say this. After suggesting to Pharaoh how Egypt could make it through the famine, what they needed to do, the king recognized Joseph as a worthy man, and he was the author of the plan, and so he put him in charge of it. Now, similarly, since Jesus is both creator and sustainer of the universe, he is also, he's not only the author, but he is the overseer of his plan. And the plan works, it's continuing to work out. God's plan of the ages, I'm talking about. The Bible says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:3. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Colossians 1:17. We're going to sing verse 2 of number 8 in your hymn book, number 8, verse 2 only, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Let's look at the words before we do. Number 8, the second verse, all thy works with joy surround thee. Earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and fountain, flowery meadows, flashing seas, chanting birds and flowing fountains, call us to rejoice in thee. The creation of our Lord causes us to rejoice in him. Pay attention to the words as we sing.
Verse 2 here.
Think now about how the Lord Jesus, coming, his first coming, when he was born and laid in a manger, how that was foretold. What if I announced that I was coming to your house? I'll be there at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, January the 5th, 2024. I think that's a Tuesday. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll be wearing a blue suit, a red tie. I'm going to be traveling in my Toyota pickup truck. I'm going to park in the street in front of your house. I'll come to the door that's in the carport. I'm going to knock 3 times. I'll have my Bible in my hand. You will be reading the newspaper when you hear the knock. Your children will be playing in their bedrooms, and your television will be on channel 12. Your wife will have just put away her last dishes from dinner. And oh yes, your dog will not notice my arrival. You would say, well, that's pretty planned out there, isn't it? That compared to the Lord Jesus and how his coming was prophesied, that's pretty small and insignificant to the words that were given pertaining to the Lord's coming. Some of them, well, 4,000 years before he came in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says, the Lord's talking to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming. 800 years, approximately, perhaps a few less, Christ's coming was predicted by Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Lord's coming was predicted. It was prophesied. And the Bible is filled with those prophecies. We just looked at a couple. Let's sing number 601. We'll sing only the first verse. "How firm a foundation." The idea is that our faith is built upon the foundation of the Word of God. And it's a great foundation. So much was predicted and now has come to pass. So it's not we hope these things come to pass. They've already come to pass. Our faith has quite a foundation in the Lord Jesus. 601, verse 1. As was predicted in the Old Testament, the incarnation, the day of his incarnation came. Incarnation is when God became flesh, when the Lord Jesus was born here on this earth. To illustrate, someone suggested it was like a man who had an ant colony, and he saw the uneasiness and the contention at times in the ant colony, and he thought to himself, you know, if I could be an ant and become an ant, I could show them the right way. I could show them how to have peace. The step a man would have to take to condescend to the level of an insect, you would think that's a vast chasm. But nothing compared to the distance that our Lord Jesus had to cross, his condescending to become flesh, to be a man. Now think about that. God became a man to help man, to help his creation. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." We're going to sing number 112, just the second verse, number 112. It would be hard for us to fully comprehend what that baby was. It was a It was a baby, a human being. He would grow up to be a man, but not just a man, because this is God in the flesh. He's the God-man. The union of deity and humanity. Perfect union of those. To grasp the significance of his sinless life as the God-man, because God cannot sin, to grasp the significance of that statement, we should consider ourselves, I think, how that to live without sin is impossible. It's impossible. Now, I would dare say, seldom does anyone live through a day without sin. The Lord Jesus lived 33 and a half years without sin. And perhaps you'd like to argue with that. Well, I've done pretty good today, but we have to throw in also the sins of omission, right? Oh boy, that really gets tough then, doesn't it? Not doing the things we ought to do. Not having the devotion and the prayer life and such things as we ought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." It required a sinless sacrifice for our sins, for our forgiveness, our redemption. Jesus was just that. He came and gave us his righteousness and took upon himself our sin. That's our Savior, our sinless Savior. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 of number 50, Jesus, Wonderful Lord. Number 50, verses 1 and 3. Our Lord had to live that sinless life before he could be our substitute, our sacrifice to pay for our redemption. Let's think of his sacrificial death. The truth of the matter is we were sort of on death row and Christ took our place. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and Christ took our death and gave us his life, the exchange. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, the appeasement, if you will, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." What a significant sacrifice. What a powerful forgiveness. is in the Lord Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. 142, number 142. We'll sing all of the verses. 142. What makes our Savior special? So many things, right? He's God. He's sinless. He died a sinless life. He died and gave His life for sinners. His great love stands out. And how about His bodily resurrection? The resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Without the resurrection, we would have a dead prophet, a dead Savior. But our Savior lives. He's alive. You've heard of that man, I know, even from me, that did the tightrope across the Niagara Falls, pushing a wheelbarrow and to invite somebody to get in. What if before he actually got back and was ready to invite somebody to ride across in his wheelbarrow, what if he lost the wheelbarrow and it fell over the falls? And he would say, not to worry, everything's okay, we have another wheelbarrow. We would say, no, you didn't do it that time. I'm certainly not riding in your wheelbarrow. Think of the Lord's resurrection. We live our life in confident expectation of the resurrection of our own bodies and a glorified body to live in His presence forever. And can we be sure? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's the first to be resurrected, never to die again. And He has the power to resurrect us, to raise us from the dead. Christ not only promised our resurrection, but He did it first. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Let's sing He Lives. 377, He Lives. Let's celebrate His life as we sing verses 1 and 3. Number 377. Come to the departure of the Lord Jesus. We call it His ascension. His story would be harder to believe if He had just died and was buried, or if He was raised from the dead and then just sort of disappeared and nobody knew where He went. Consider how He left the earth. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. We want to sing two songs pertaining to His ascension. Number 184, we're going to sing verse 4. And then we're going to flip back to 133 and sing the fourth verse. 184, 133, and we'll sing the fourth verse of each.
All right, 184, verse 4.
Is the story over yet? Oh, not hardly. We wait for him to come back, don't we? Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for his children, very much in control of what's happening in his creation. But he's coming again. He's coming again. He'll come first in the rapture. He'll come down into the sky, into the clouds, and call his saints up to him. There'll be the tribulation period, and then he's coming back to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the millennial kingdom. Someone might ask, well, why should I believe you? We'd say, well, I never lied to you, have I? And they could say, no. Well, so could the Lord. He's never lied, never said anything would happen that didn't happen, that's supposed to have happened already. And there have been so many things that he promised that have already come true. We can trust him for the rest too, can't we? He's coming again. He said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's sing Jesus is coming again. It's 194. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. Jesus is coming again. 194.
Thank you.
The song I was talking about in the beginning, do you worship the babe in the manger? And then it asks, do you worship the babe in the manger but reject the Christ of the cross? It's a good message. I know that you know the Lord Jesus. I think I know everybody in here professes faith in the Lord Jesus. And we worship Him this Christmas. It's His birth. But let's not be guilty of just thinking of that day. If we went to a birthday party today, we wouldn't just talk about things that happened on the day of the birth of an individual. We would talk about their life. Let's remember His eternal life. His eternity. He lived in eternity past. He's the creator and sustainer of all that is. His coming was foretold. He became God in the flesh. He lived a sinless life and died a sacrificial death. His literal body rose from the dead. He ascended back to heaven, and He's coming again. That's our Lord Jesus. Let's worship Him this Christmas season. Please join me in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to get together tonight. Lord, this is a different kind of a service for us. Maybe we've stepped out of the box a little bit for our Christmas celebration to think about our Lord in all of His glory, His eternal glory. Father, I pray that as we think of the babe in the manger, that we would let our minds just wander into the past and into the future, and we would truly worship Him who is deserving of all of our praise. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your great gift to us in the person of the Lord Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.